Can I encourage you to be a people with mountaintop faith? Because heaven is looking for men and women with mountaintop faith, and he's looking in the valleys. Well, it's easy to have that on the mountaintop. That's not where the mountaintop faith is found. It's found in the valleys. That's where it operates. And when God sees people of mountaintop faith, get ready for a miracle. He did that with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Paul did it with Joseph, and he'll do it with New Hope. Can you say amen to that?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We often hear about mountaintop faith, and most of us wish we had more of it. Well, yesterday, Pastor Wayne showed us that before you can even hope to get to the mountaintop, you must first go through the valley. If that's where you find yourself today, take courage. You're not alone. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Mountaintop Faith.
Heaven is looking for men and women with mountaintop faith. But I got to break it to you. When you leave those doors, it's not going to be easy. No, and it's not going to get any easier. Because in the world today, the current is going against you. The wind is blowing against you. And we have to be willing to represent Jesus regardless of the consequences, regardless of what the world says. It had to happen with Joseph when he was sold into Egypt. Do you remember that? And Mrs. Potiphar said, "Come here, big boy." And he must have been a good-looking guy because she just was alluring him. And he spoke to her and said, "No, I can't. I can't sin against God. Not going to do it." Even though he knew rejecting her would mean prison. He said, "I can't do it. Do you know the consequences?" "Can't do it. Not going to do it." And so he gets thrown in prison because he had to stand against the current. Regardless of the consequences, there's going to be times you're going to be serving God and the consequences will be negative. And you're going to say, "What? What's the use of serving God?" You don't want to see God as a genie in a lamp. You want to see him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, regardless of the consequences. Because it wouldn't be more than just a few years that God would raise Joseph up to be an influencer to his generation. Amen. Happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar said, "Bow down to my statue." And they said, "We can't. The God whom we serve is God." "So are you kidding? Do you know the consequences of this? See that fire, that furnace? You're going to be crispy critters. We're throwing you in." And then they said, watch this. "The God who we serve is able to deliver us." And then they said something that just will blow your mind. They said, "And even if he does not, we will still serve him." Do you understand the mountaintop faith that God's looking for in a Joseph, in a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And God says, "There's mountaintop faith. Watch what I'm about to do." God himself joins them in the fire, delivers them. And when they go out, the Bible says, not even a hair on their head was singed. God's looking for people with mountaintop faith in the furnaces below. Happened with Paul the Apostle. He was beaten 39 times, shipwrecked, without sleep, thrown into prison. He was belittled, betrayed, but God uses him to write half the New Testament. We're still reading it today. God's looking for men and women with mountaintop faith. Happened with Daniel. The king said, "Next 30 days, you don't pray to anybody except me." It's like, "Ooh, what? Yeah, that's right. If you do, we'll throw you to the lion's den. Right in the Honolulu Zoo. We're throwing you over the fence. That's it." And the Bible says Daniel opens his windows and keeps praying like he used to. Man, at least Daniel closed the windows. He says, "No, I'm going to open the windows." Do you know the consequences? Mm-hmm. "But my God is God. There is no other. I will pray to no one else." And he begins to pray. He's accosted, thrown into the lion's den. Was there any guarantee that God was going to close the mouths of the lions? None. He knew that he would die, but it was okay. They threw him in the lion's den. God closed their mouths. He was raised up and he influenced the generation. A miracle took place. Why? Because in every case, God was looking for mountaintop faith in the valleys. Not on the mountaintop. It's easy to have faith on the mountaintops. But it's seen, and it gets the attention of heaven in the valleys below. When we appropriate our faith in the midst of a family argument, when you'd like to say something and default back to that anger and you say, I can't do it. Nope, not going to do it. You see, here's what the Bible says. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Watch this. If anyone desire, how many of you would desire to go be like Jesus? Yeah, you wouldn't be here if you didn't. If anyone, us, desires to follow me, come after me, let him deny himself. Yeah, but I want to say this. No, you don't get to say it. Just zip it, dude. Whoa, okay. Well, that's all right. Even though it's tough on you, there's going to be a battle on the inside because your flesh wants to win over the spirit. But when you say, no, I'm going to deny spirit, no, going to deny self. So the spirit reigns. And then it says, take up your cross, which means there might be some consequences. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Did you know when you deny yourself and take up the cross, do you know it's always easier to preach the cross than it is to carry it? Sing. If anyone wills to come after me, let him deny himself. Sing about the cross and follow me. No. Pray about the cross and follow me. No, preach about the cross. No, we do that on the mountaintop. But if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's so easy to go through those doors and get caught up in the crowd, and we start to use excuses. Well, you know, what she said made me mad. What they did made me do this. No, it's so easy to flow with the crowd. There's a story of this guy, the Lord had been speaking to him about losing weight because he had been eating a dozen donuts a day and at Leonard's. And he bought some donuts and malasadas and he ate it every day. And he just said, I can't do it anymore. Can't do it. So, okay. Well, a week goes by and he's doing good. But one day he shows up at work with a dozen donuts and he's eating two of them at the same time. And so his friends go, hey, I thought you said the Lord said you're not going to have these kind of donuts anymore. He said, I know, but I went past Leonard's and there was a dozen of these things right in the window calling my name. And I said, Lord, if you want me to have those, then you'll open up a parking space right in front of the bakery. And, well, on the eighth time around the block, there it was. We can make up all kinds of excuses, can't we? But the Lord says, if anyone is to come after me, let him deny himself. Die to self. Take up his cross. Out there, you're going to have to bear the consequences. And follow me. Do what I did. I remember some time ago, I was in Portland, Oregon. I was going to head over to Florida because I was speaking at a conference. And it was that night. So I was taking a morning flight out, and lo and behold, as we're waiting at the gate, we hear that the announcement that they canceled the flight. About 200 people are just livid mad. They are steaming. No, man, we paid money for this. We got to get home for this and for that. And now 200 people are lined up at the customer service desk of the flight and the customer service of the airlines, and they're mad. I mean, 200 people back are yelling, whoa! We need to get on this plane. We got to get another plane for us. You better pay for us. They're just yelling. And I mean, you get caught up in that stuff, don't you? You're like a 200th in line. They're all yelling. And yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're just getting wrapped up in this thing. And so I'm making my way through the line and I'm thinking, I got to speak. And if I'm not there, oh no. So I have to call the conference director in Florida. I'm so sorry, the flight got canceled. Can you flip me till tomorrow night? Another speaker, and we have to do all of these gymnastics. And finally, I'm just mad. It's like, oh, man, crazy. So I finally get up to the front, and I'm working up an appetite, man. I'm ready. Man. And so this lady is trying her best to work with everybody. And just about three before I get to her, have you ever been stopped by the Lord and God says, shut up? I just shut up. And I thought, no way. I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to let her have a piece of my mind. And the Lord said, no. This is what he said. She's had a very hard week and she needs kindness. So I get up there and I said, okay, Lord. And I get up there and she looks up like, oh, big eyes. Like, are you going to give me something like everybody else has been giving me? And I looked at her and I said, I've been watching you. And you've been so nice to every customer who's brought you a problem. You just worked through 200 problems and you gave solutions to every single one. Do you know how impressed I am, young lady? You are amazing. She starts crying. She said, you know, I've had a really tough week. And I wanted to say, God just told me you did, but I didn't. And I nodded, yes. And she said, I found out I have breast cancer and I didn't even want to come to work today. But I did, and then this happens. And then God is so kind, he sent you, Pastor Wayne, to pray for me. OMG, she knew who I was. I'm so glad I didn't give her a piece of my mind because I don't have any mind right now. You know, and I thought, oh, Lord, you are so good.
Yes.
Isn't it true? When you go through those doors, you want to be like the crowd because the current's going against you. It doesn't get any easier. But if we're going to reach this generation with the gospel, there must be a generation that will make a commitment that no other generation has made. We need more of Jesus.
Yes.
And he says, good, when you go out that door, lo, I'll be with you even unto the ends of the earth. I'll go with you. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. You know, I was, when we first started this church, we did not get a lot of approval ratings. We didn't get a lot of encouragement. In fact, because the church grew so fast, many other churches were mad at us. Because, in fact, one pastor said, no church can grow that fast unless it's a cult. So they started calling us a cult here. And another one said, the only way you guys can grow is you probably giving out drugs. I thought, okay, well, whatever. You know, whatever floats your boat, it's cool. Another one, because we did hula, got mad at us and started preaching against the dangers of hula because it was used for demons or whatever. And so, I mean, you get all of this stuff going. And so a stack of letters like this. One pastor wrote me a letter and said, you need to leave the island because you're destroying the churches. And I thought, dude, you're Howley. I'm from Palolo. You leave the island. I'm home. What is this? So I was starting to get mad at these guys. Like, what? Well, I was on the mainland speaking, and I was coming home on Saturday morning. And I get a call from one of the pastors, and they said, you know, there's 12 pastors that want to meet with you for lunch on Saturday. And I thought, uh-huh, who are these? And they gave me the names, and I thought, oh, you don't want to have lunch with me. You want to have me for lunch is what you want to do, don't you? So I hung up, and the night before, I was to take the flight home, and I thought, oh, you know, I better pray about this. And so I got on my knees by my bed, put a piece of paper in front of me, and I said, Lord, give me ammunition against these guys. So if they give me guff, I can give them twice the guff back. And so I started writing. Oh, I know about this pastor. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This one has a trouble wife. Yeah. And this one here. The kids are all gunny bags. This one over here. Buckaloos. This one here. And I started writing all of these things down. I thought, oh, I have enough to sink their ships when they come against me. So I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So I got in bed, put that list on my chest. Thank you, God. Just put this in my heart. You know, hallelujah. And then the Lord said, you're not done yet. I said, oh, he's going to give me some more. That's good. So I got on my knees. And then this is what the Lord said. You're not going to use any of those. And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, tomorrow you will die. I thought, my plane is going down. No. So I started thinking about alternate routes. You know, we'll go through Denver or someplace else. The Lord said, no, tomorrow you're going to die. I said, what are you talking about? He said, tomorrow when they say or level any accusation, you will say nothing. And I was reminded of Jesus in front of Pilate and Herod. Do you remember when he said nothing? And they said, do you know what authority we have? The Lord says, the only authority you have has been given by my Father, and I'm good with that. And he didn't say a word. Like a sheep before the slaughterers. And the Lord said, tomorrow you will die. You will not say a thing. And so I crumpled up that paper, but it took me about 40 minutes to finally say, okay, I will die. And I was wrestling. In fact, true story, after about 40 minutes of fighting with God, saying, I can't do it, I can't, it's too embarrassing. And no, I'm not going to do that. They're wrong, I'm right. They're the criminals, I'm not. And after about 40 minutes, I finally said, okay, I'll do that. When I got up, it was like I had played three games of racquetball. My shirt was soaked with sweat. And I knew that there was a fleshly battle where I had to die to self. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Do what I did. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, why? Why do I have to do this? And this is what I remember him saying to me. There's divisions and factions in the churches in Hawaii. The reason is because no leader wants to die. They all want to reign. But the only way you're going to defeat the enemy is somebody has to be willing to die. I think that's a word for some husbands here. You know, there's times we think we're right, she's wrong, which usually is correct, you know. But somebody has to die. But you know, often I have to say this honestly, my wife is the one that dies. She's the one that lays down her life. And when things come back together and love is restored, I think, I should have done that, not her. But somebody has to die because we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. They're not the enemy. The devil is. But he's going to turn us against one another. And the only way to defeat the devil is somebody has to die. So the next day I flew into Hawaii and I was just quiet. Apologize, ask for forgiveness, said, I love you guys. I love the kingdom. Let's work together. Until this day, and I trace it back to that lunchtime, till this day, many of them are still some of my very best friends. God did a good thing. Good thing. And I look back now, some 20, almost 30 years later, and I think, that's what started it all. Not some cool dances or this or that. It was understanding that if anyone is to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Can I encourage you to be a people with mountaintop faith? Because heaven is looking for men and women with mountaintop faith, and he's looking in the valleys. Well, it's easy to have that on the mountaintop, but that's not where the mountaintop faith is found. It's found in the valleys. That's where it operates. And when God sees people of mountaintop faith, get ready for a miracle. He did that with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Paul did it with Joseph, and he'll do it with New Hope. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's what he's about to do. Now, I must say that God's going to call some of you into some very difficult situations. Won't get any easier, but trust me, when he sees your mountaintop faith in the valleys below, a miracle is about to take place. Let me finish with this story. It's a true story of a couple. His name is John, and married a young wife in Bible college on the East Coast. And he came from a very wealthy family. He could have, after graduation, have gone home, taken over his father's business, and lived a very comfortable, cushy life. But in one of the chapel times, a service kind of like this, he heard the Lord calling him to serve and reach the people of a mountain village in Tibet. So he and his wife said, we will go. We will go. What they heard on the mountaintop, they had to go. And so they went to Tibet, learned the language, lived in poverty. They had two children. However, about 3 years later, a plague swept through and both children succumbed to the plague and died. So the father buried both the children. They continued as a couple to preach the gospel and love on the people in this mountain village in Tibet. When about another 2 years later, his wife fell deathly ill. They did everything they could to try and get her back to health. When finally John, the pastor, said, I've got to talk to the elders of the village. And he did. And he said, I've got to take my wife to the mission hospital. She is gravely ill. The mission hospital was a three-day journey down the river. He took her down to a canoe, a boat, and they paddled down to the river, started going down. About a day and a half later, His wife looked up and said, John, I can go no further. I can go no further. So he pulled off to the side, got her out, held her in his arms, and she said, I have to tell you something, John. So he bent down and she whispered something into his ear and she died. He'd already buried his two children. Now he would bury his wife. When it was done, he got into the canoe and paddled to the middle of the river and all of a sudden turned back upstream and started paddling towards where he originated and went starting to go back to the people in that mountain village. Because you see, what she whispered into his ear just before she died was this, John, go back and finish what God has called us to do. He could have gone downstream and lived a very comfortable life. But God sometimes calls us to a pretty tough assignment. It could be your home, could be your neighborhood, could be whatever, your marriage. But God's looking for a mountaintop faith because he has miracles in store for you and me. Change lives, transform lives, things that will happen that you'll look back one day and say, wow, we never thought this would happen. This is amazing what God has done. But what's he looking for? Mountaintop faith. Where's that found? Not on the mountaintops. It's found in the valleys below. Let me ask you, will you be a person with a mountaintop faith? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do that. Would you stand with me as we conclude? If you've never received Jesus before, please do today. The Bible says, behold, today is a day of your salvation. Today. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make, bar none. This one decision affects your life on this side of the grave and your life on the other side. Because every single one of us was made in the image of God. I mean, we look like God? No. The quality of eternity is in your heart. When God created a human being, that person is now an eternal being. You choose where you will spend that eternity. But every one of us is an eternal being because God created us with his image of eternity. And that's why the Bible says he's put eternity in the heart of every man. Now you choose, because he won't make it for you. He's given us free will. But he says, choose Jesus. The Father and all the angels of heaven wait for moments like this where people will choose Jesus to be Lord and Savior. If you never made that decision, make it today. Make it today. All of heaven is waiting. He said, well, I'm not sure. I believe in God. Well, that's a good first step. Even the devil believes in God. But the next step is, will you receive him as Lord and Savior? Would you do that? Would you bow your heads? If you're here today and you say, Wayne, I want to receive Jesus. I need to. I don't know exactly where I stand, but I want to be sure today. So Lord, would you see my heart and my raised hand? And I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. So if that's you, would you right now just raise a hand? Yep, God sees those. Yep, please. The Lord sees all of those hands. Yep, yep. Good. In the back there on the side. Yep, upstairs in the mezzanine. Yeah, good, good. Yep. You can put your hands down. But as I close, let's all pray this prayer together. I'll give you the words. You repeat it after me with all your heart. Would you pray this? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone can hear. So you can hear me. So I can hear myself. And so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, that's a cry of our hearts. Thank you so much for embracing us and helping us to become a people with mountaintop faith in the valleys below. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say,
amen.
Hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Mountaintop Faith by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
Well, it's easy to have that on the mountaintop. That's not where the mountaintop faith is found. It's found in the valleys. That's where it operates. And when God sees people of mountaintop faith, get ready for a miracle. He did that with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Paul did it with Joseph, and he'll do it with New Hope. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you as you make your way through the valley to the mountaintop that lies ahead. Aloha.